Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus is ascended to the right hand of the Father. We have been waiting for this ever since our Lord took on human flesh, ever since he came down to live among us as one of us, bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. We have waited for him to ascend, to be seated at the right hand of God the Father, having been given all authority on heaven and in earth. His ascension is his acceptance by God the Father, that his sacrifice is pleasing to him, that what our Lord did in his life by becoming obedient to his Father's will and word, that by his obedience even unto death, death upon a cross, that sacrifice made once for all has been once for all accepted by the Father. And now he is seated on God's throne. Imagine that. It's not just that God is sitting on God's throne, but man is. That Jesus Christ, the man, who is also God in the flesh, is seated at the right hand of God. One of us is ruling and reigning until all eternity. We do not have a high priest that is unable to understand who we are and what we endure. Now, to be sure, he ascended in order to open heaven for us, to intercede on our behalf, to be our mediator by showing the Father his hands and his side, so that when he would look upon us, he would see only the righteous and innocent blood of Jesus shed for the forgiveness of our sins. But he knows what it is to be man, because he is a man. And therefore, he represents us before God most purely, because he knows our weaknesses. And though he is ascended on high, he is not gone, for the right hand of God is everywhere. For St. Paul says, when he ascended, he filled all things. And now he has made himself present in specific things. He has promised that he would be wherever his name and word is spoken, not just in his spirit, but in his very body and blood, that he would be with us always into the end of the age, not as some abstract concept, but physically, as he once walked physically with the disciples back then. Only now he does it everywhere. Then you had to actually go into the proximity of where Jesus was. Now, since he has fulfilled all things and has promised to be with us always in his word and in his sacraments, you don't have to go to Jerusalem. You go wherever his word is, and there he is with you physically, though you do not see it. And so Jesus is reigning over all things. And the disciples wait. They are in this in-between time, between the ascension of our Lord and the descending of the Holy Spirit. And as you know, when you are in any kind of in-between time, whenever you are waiting, that is a time when complacency can strike, when we do not know what to do, when we become restless. And so St. Peter gives them instructions, along with our Lord, to not be dissuaded by those who hate you. To be sure, our world tries to convince us that there is some kind of neutral ground out there somewhere, public square, whatever you want to call it. But it really isn't neutral. It is anti-scriptural, anti-Christian. They are fine if you just remain quiet, if you don't speak the things that God says in his word out loud. And even then, they're not entirely happy when you do it just in your churches. There is no neutral space. There are only two ways, the way of life and the way of death. You are either with me, our Lord says, or you are against me. So do not be dissuaded or persuaded from who you are as Christians because they say you can exist in some neutral territory. We can't. You can see this by the fact that they are constantly telling us that if we do not go along with their philosophy or their program, we will find ourselves on the wrong side of history. And that would be bad, I guess. I'd rather find myself on the wrong side of history and on God's side than on their side of history. And so St. Peter says, do not be surprised, brothers, beloved, at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. Our Lord tells us that persecution will come. And while it might not look like the persecution of the first through third centuries, there is still a persecution in the works, a silencing, perhaps not by death, but at least by canceling, taking away your wages, not giving you promotions because you might say what the Bible says out loud. Do not be surprised when this comes, St. Peter says, but rejoice that you might be considered worthy to share in Christ's sufferings, so that you might look forward to the glory that shall be revealed on the last day. There are all kinds of things that the world puts before us in order to distract us from the things that God would have us be about, to make us restless, to make us complacent in these times. St. Peter names them earlier on. Living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking, parties, lawless idolatry. But I think one of the chief things that this world, the devil, set before us in our day, to distract us, to make us restless so that we don't focus on the task that God has actually put us to, is to make us want and desire the world's acceptance. How else can we explain that so many of us don't eat meals at home anymore, around a dining room table, but rather are running from this place to that place, where our homes become like a hotel? What else can explain that we have begun to see human worth only in terms of how much money it can make, or how much stuff it has, or how many accolades we have on the fireplace mantle. There was a time when we, as God's people, really loved families, motherhood, where we saw mothers as the end-all and be-all. Why? Because they were doing the most difficult work in the world. They were answering not just arithmetic questions, but all the questions. They were introducing them not to just this subject or to that kind of work, but to the universe. And now we think that women are only as good as what they can bring home instead of what they bring up at home. We have been lured, in other words, out of the tasks that God has given us to do the things to keep up with this world. These are the distractions that seem okay, because we can always say, well, we're doing it for our kids. We're doing it so that they can have these experiences or those experiences. But what we have vacated is our own living rooms and our own dining room tables, where families actually exist. Here, St. Peter would say, as a way to encourage you not to give up, despite whatever mistakes you may have made, missteps you may have given, philosophies you may have wholeheartedly swallowed. He says the end of all things is at hand. And this is not to say that we should kick back and relax because the end is coming. This is to say, you're almost to the finish line. Don't give up. Don't give up. If you look at any race, we have a runner here. She can probably tell you. If you look at any race, the splits for those races are fastest in the beginning and in the end. It is that middle where the pace falls off. St. Peter, that is God himself, is saying, you're not in the middle anymore. Don't give up. Don't stop running. Don't give up. Keep going. Run as you might obtain it. You are so close. Now is the time to double down. To double down on the things that God has set us to do. Not the things that distract us from his word, but the things that plant us and firmly root us in his word. So that we once again might be with one another around the word of God, perhaps even just the game of life in our living rooms, that we might have a meal together around the table, and not just for a special occasion, but all the time, that we might pray together. Because Jesus sends us the Holy Spirit not as a deliverer. That is what he did. He delivered us from sin, death, and hell. He sends us the Spirit as a helper. One who comes to our aid to help us through. So when we face these difficulties of, are we going to run here and there and give up family time? Are we going to do this or that and give up church family time? Are we going to be about whatever the world says we ought to be about instead of what God says to be about? That we would ask for help and not punt, and not let our schedules run our lives, but that we would run our schedules according to the duties that God has given us to do. You women have been given one of the highest honors in all of creation, to raise human beings, to actually put a mark on the world. And we give that up to do something out there and forsake this right here. Let us again see that as the highest calling and do it with gusto, not giving up because the end of all things is at hand. In the name of Jesus. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus into life everlasting.